Now, on our EcoSpot this evening, I'm delighted to welcome David Moore, founder and chairperson of Astronomy Ireland, to the programme once again. David, you're welcome to us once more.
Thank you very much.
David, as I say, we're always fascinated to find out what's happening in the sky at this any time of the year, and coming up now, I suppose, with the one nice thing, I suppose, is the evenings are, well, the weather is generally getting a bit better and people have a chance maybe to get out. But what do we expect to see in the stars at the moment or up in the heavens?
Well, tonight is a good night to stay up late or get up at dawn, because the planet Saturn, which hasn't been visible for a while, is going to sneak back into morning skies. Now, we wouldn't normally have promoted this, but it just so happens that the crescent moon is going to line up with Saturn. Tonight, it'll be a little bit higher than tomorrow night, but it'll be much further away from Saturn. So if you get up at around dawn, 4 o'clock in the morning, and you look over in the east, you hopefully be able to see the moon with the naked eye easy enough. And then well to its left will be a reasonably bright star, in quotes. That's actually the planet Saturn. And if you manage to get up early on Saturday morning to do the same thing, around about the same time, 4 a.m., you'll see the crescent moon a bit lower down. You'll need a good horizon, but Saturn will be much closer. In fact, if you have a pair of binoculars, you'll easily fit Saturn and the moon into the same field of view. A nice diagram in Astronomy Ireland magazine for those who get it, which will show you exactly what the view looks like. And it's going to happen again, by the way, on May 31st, the last day of the year. The moon's going to go round the sky and come back and line up with Saturn yet again. Saturn will be higher. The moon will be a lovely crescent again. And they're even slightly closer on May 31st. So there aren't many bright planets visible in the Irish sky this coming month. Saturn is the best, and the moon signposts us on two occasions this month. That's one of the highlights of the month.
Okay. And Saturn itself, tell me a little bit about the planet, because it's one that a lot of people will be fascinated by. But what's the story behind Saturn?
Yeah, Saturn is probably the most appealing planet in a telescope, because it's got those lovely rings. Some of the other planets have very minor rings you can't see in a telescope, but Saturns are visible in a small telescope. The cheapest telescope you can get will show the rings of Saturn. We run a big event for the general public, for families and their friends, every summer. It's on the 31st, the last day of August this year, Saturday night, pulse to the stars. And Saturn will have moved around the evening sky then, and the view of Saturn in a big telescope. It looks like a spacecraft picture you see online or in magazines and books with the ring. Some of the full moons are visible in these telescopes. It's definitely a sight you have to see at least once in your life. So check out our website, astronomy.ie, get your tickets for that and the other wonders of the universe. And Saturn is not like the Earth. We have a solid surface with a bit of a thin atmosphere on top. You and I are breathing, fortunately for us. But on Saturn, it's atmosphere all the way down. And the air, in quotes, so we could breathe, just gets thicker and thicker the deeper down you go. And a few hundred miles down, the gas atmosphere of Saturn turns into liquid. And then the rest of the planet, most of it, and there's a very thin layer of gas at the top. From there on down to the core, is liquid, mostly hydrogen gas. And it gets squashed so much, stops behaving like a gas, it starts behaving like a metal. So the conditions are on a planet eight times wider than the Earth are nothing like what they are here on our own planet. So it's beyond our everyday experience. This gives Saturn a big magnetic field. It's very far from the Sun, 10 times further than we are, so it's extremely cold. It's got over 100 moons going around it. Most of them are very small. There's six big ones. The biggest one has got its own nitrogen atmosphere. It's thicker than the one you and I are breathing now. Uh-huh. So it's a crazy, exotic world that looks incredible in a telescope with those rings.
Yeah, and of course, as you say, the moons there are incredible as well. But the rings themselves, and what are they? How do they form, or why are they there?
Well, we think what happened was that Saturn, being so much bigger than the Earth, A moon that was icy got too close to Saturn, and the near side of the moon was being pulled by Saturn's strong gravity more than the remote side of the moon, and that stretched the moon so much it actually shredded the entire entire moon into billions, trillions of boulders that are all orbiting Saturn now in a big sheet. And the sheet is very thin. If it was made of newspaper, the sheet would be about as big as would fit on a football field. That's to get the size of the sheet compared to the thickness to the correct scale. Uh-huh. So it's an extremely thin sheet, wafer thin. In fact, we're going to see that next year, because the rings of Saturn will turn edge on in spring of next year. And they'll disappear in all but the biggest telescopes in the world when you look at them edge on just for a few days and weeks. That only happens every 15 years. And it shows how thin that sheet of boulders is. And they look solid in photographs and in the telescope. But in fact, there's huge gaps between the boulders. They're not touching each other. So again, a really crazy, exotic thing. It isn't actually anything like what it actually looks like. It looks like a gramophone record. But in fact, it's actually a big swarm of boulders orbiting Saturn from a moon that was shredded a long time ago.
And are they kind of set out into different bands, or, you know, like if you had, we'd say, washed something on the shore, you're going to get bigger rocks kept one place and smaller ones along the way. Is there a kind of a gradual gradient or graduation between the rocks, or are they all the same the whole way across?
There sort of is. When you look in the telescopes, you know, even with amateur telescopes, they cost thousands of euros, but you can see the individual sections of the ring. There's three sections you can fairly easily see with a telescope. When you send spacecraft there and you look at them really close, you can see there are gaps between the rings. And when you look very, very close, you can see the rings are actually made up of rings within rings. And we think all this structure and detail is put there by the gravity of the other moons going around Saturn, because they're pulling on these boulders as well, and they can shepherd the boulders into particular paths. So it still defies scientists today to quite predict exactly what's going on, but we do know some of the big divisions in the rings are caused by some of the big satellites, and there are probably other little moons, in other words, something that's bigger than the boulders, maybe the equivalent mass of thousands or millions of boulders, embedded in the rings that are going around and stirring everything up and keeping all this rings-within-ring structure. So it's a phenomenally dynamic place. From the Earth, it looks great, just one big flat ring. But up close in spacecraft, and when people ultimately go there and fly in amongst the rings, it's going to be a crazy place to visit.
And we won't be going there any day soon to visit anyway, by the sound of things. So what else then, David, at the moment should people be looking out for?
The other things to see. Well, there's a bit of a meteor shower coming this weekend. It's called the Eta Aquarii meteor shower. It would be one of the best three of the year, only it's really best seen in the southern hemisphere. Little bits of space debris that hit the Earth are actually bits that fell off Halley's Comet. And down south, they'll see perhaps 80 per hour, which is quite a rate. But up here, we have two problems. One is very low down, and secondly, it doesn't rise until after 3 a.m., and it gets bright soon after 4 a.m., so you've only got this one-hour window between 3 and 4 when you'll see reduced numbers. So you might read about it online for people in Australia, South America, South Africa, places like that, where they got a glorious view. But we'll have to wait till August for the Perseid meteor shower and December for the Gemini meteor shower, which is the best of the year. If you hear anything about it, you will see some from Ireland, but really we've got better meteor showers later in the year. And then the other big thing that's coming is the International Space Station, that you'll have no problem seeing. If people follow us on social media, they'll see that earlier this afternoon we posted our daily report telling people it's in the morning sky at the moment, so you've got to watch it around the 5 o'clock a.m. mark. But that'll change next week from the 10th of May till the 25th of May, about 2 weeks. Every night you'll see the space station fly over in evening skies. And again, for free, we'll have the predictions of exactly when to watch on our social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. If you go to our website, astronomy.ie, down the bottom, you'll see the links to the social media. Do follow us there. And we also predict the northern lights. We can only really predict those a day or two in advance, and we've just predicted one at the moment. The northern lights exploded. We have spacecraft monitoring them every day. They exploded earlier today. And if that activity continues, when it gets dark in Ireland in a few hours' time, we could have a spectacular display of the northern lights. Now, they tend to come and go on hour-long schedules. They don't tend to last for days. So whether it'll last until it gets dark in Ireland, we'll just have to wait and see. I'm just looking at the satellite images at the moment to see how it's faring. But even if it has died away, then it could just surge in activity again after a few hours. Right now, it's extremely intense. The ideal place to be would be Scandinavia, although it's a bit bright there. So over Siberia and Russia was the best place to see it. But if that activity keeps up, it's been going for several hours, we're going to get a great display of Northern Lights. And again, our social media will predict these 24 to 48 hours in advance, free of charge. Make sure you're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and follow the links on astronomy.ie.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Now, did I read somewhere recently about a possible comet coming around this summer, or was there something there that I was reading about?
Yeah, there are two of them. One is just gone, as far as Ireland's concerned. It was called Pons Brooks, or it had a number 12P, which is to say. And it was quite prominent in binoculars and small telescopes in the evening sky, and some fantastic photographs. In fact, people who get Astronomy Ireland magazine, probably today, I hope, the magazine drops through the letterbox, and they'll see all the photographs taken from Ireland of it. We got some stunning pictures. There were incredible ones taken around the world. We held up our own. We've got the Irish pictures in the latest May issue of Astronomy Ireland magazine. And that's a sort of a teaser for what's coming in October, because there's a really big comet coming called, it's a Chinese and an acronym name, Su Chin Chan Atlas. That's the name of the comet, or people are going to call it, I think, A3 for short, because that's its designation. And A3 could be brighter than the brightest stars in the sky in October for a few weeks. So, you know, this first comet, 12P, was just, it comes around every 71 years, and was just teasing us, getting us ready for the big one that's coming in October. In fact, any of the older listeners might remember 1997, when we had comet Hale-Bopp, a brilliant comet, just sat in the sky. You could see it from the city centre. And we expect a comet like that if we're in luck. We think we can predict this comet fairly well in advance. Some comets often let us down, but this one is not relying on going extremely close to the sun for its brightness. And that's usually a good sign. But again, follow Astronomy Ireland magazine pages. We'll keep you posted over the coming months. But I would be expecting to see a good comet in October.
Well, that we'll be talking to you, no doubt, before that. Well, yeah. David, listen, it's great talking to you. As I say, I know that if anybody is interested, they can get onto astronomy.ie, get all the information there, join up and, you know, take part and get information and, of course, magazines, etc. But wonderful talking to you again, and thank you so much for being with us this evening.
My pleasure.
Thanks, David. Bye. Bye-bye.